Folks, open your Bible, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. You can just kind of put your finger there and hold on to it. We'll be reading our text for this morning's message just coming up shortly. While you're going there, let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you that this opportunity you have placed in front of us, Lord. We ask you now, Lord, through the power and the anointing of your Spirit, Lord, that you'll take a hold of every one of our lives, Lord, because we desire, Lord, to have something real, Father, something that is coming from your heart today, Lord. So the anointing, Lord, we pray for it upon every life, Lord, that you would open us up to receive. And Father, we pray that in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. How many of y'all know life is good? No, I mean, how many of y'all know that life is really good? Now, I know one of these days, because there's a lot of us that are looking forward to that moment where we step from this life into the next life. You know, some of the folks have already beat us. So many people that I've loved and cherished, they've gone on to be with the Lord, man. I know that they are in the presence of the Lord. It makes me smile. We miss them, but indeed, they're, you know, whenever you get to heaven, you can really say, life is good. You know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Life is good. Life is good. Man, life is good. Come on, let's let that set in there for a little while. Life is good. Shoot, that's good. So let's read a couple of verses here. This is Romans chapter 8. And let's go towards the end of the chapter there. Verse number 28 is where I want to start reading. It says this, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Woo, man! He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Woo, man! Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep to the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Woo, man! Man, you realize that I, in looking for the text for this message this morning, I cherry-picked this one. Man. You know, if you're a born-again believer, are y'all following me? I mean, you're born again. You know, you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You got blood washed and blood bought. Amen? Amen? You're one of those that you know if you step from this life into the next, in the next few seconds, you know you would be in the presence of Jehovah God. Woo! You know, if you're one of those, let me just say something to you. You can read these scriptures, and there's something to get excited about inside of them. Amen? Man, life is good. Life is good. Well, can I ask y'all a question? If life is so good for us believers, then why do we oftentimes talk like it's so bad? Y'all didn't hear me because somebody was coughing right in the middle of that. If life is so good, why do so many times we're caught right in the middle of this good life talking like it's bad. You know, you can tell a lot by looking in a horse's mouth. You really can. If you know anything about horses, one of the first things you do whenever you get a horse out there is you open up their mouth and you pry it open, you begin to look, and there's a certain amount of wear that takes place every year on several of these teeth that they have inside of their mouth. So you can actually judge what age the horse is by looking in his mouth. And I have to be honest with you, you can tell a lot about people by looking into their mouth as well. But again, you know, life is good. Life is good. You know, I've got a lot of things in my life that I kind of call them my pet peeve, you know. One of the things that just drives me crazy, and I know why it drives me crazy, and I've actually prayed about this. I've said, God, please help me. But, man, whenever somebody crunches ice right next to me, and it drives me crazy. I mean, it was the law of the Persians and the Medes in my house, man. I said, don't crunch ice to my kids. I think I know what happened, because whenever I was younger, my mother was very, very sick. She was always very anemic. And whenever she's anemic, she wanted to crunch ice. And so I'm just telling you, she made a lifetime habit of crunching ice. You walk in the house, you hear my mom go, ah! No, I'm serious. I mean, it's one of those pet peeves, and I've tried. I mean, I've actually said, God, you gotta deliver me from this. People go, you're just crunching ice. You just don't like to crunch ice. It drives me nuts. And I know what I'm doing. I'm committing this thing now to y'all, and y'all are going to torture me with it now. We got a fellowship next week, and I know y'all going to be walking up. How's it going, Pastor? I'm getting better than I used to be. I'm in the middle of a bunch of family of ice crunchers. Renee likes to crunch ice. Caleb, she said. I wonder how it feels to God, though, whenever He has done so much for us. Now, I want you to think about what I just read here in Romans chapter 8. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Be it tribulation or distress? Are you following me? If God has done all of these things for us, it has got to be one of His pet peeves to hear us talking so negative. See, y'all, whenever I started this, y'all were in it, man. Yeah, amen. And it's all of a sudden stopped. You see, if life is really so good in Jesus, then why do sometimes we talk like it's so bad? Why are His people so negative in the way that we speak? And folks, we have to understand, I think all of us are in this boat, because I catch myself so often saying bad things. Whenever I've got all of this that Christ has promised me, and you have to understand, this is just one little bitty portion of Scripture here in Romans chapter 8. There is Scripture all over the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. There's stuff that pertains to us that says, man, life is good. If life is so good, sometimes why is it that we get so negative in the way that we speak? I mean, we say things like this. I just really don't know if I'm going to make it through this. Well, man, yeah, you're going to make it through this. For heaven's sake, if God is for you, who in the world can be against you? I'm going to make it through this. There's nothing that they can throw at me that is bigger than my God. See, but so often things that are negative start coming out of our mouths. You see, sometimes it seems like whenever there's just a little bit of pain, all the way that pain is emitted through our system as it comes out our mouth. Yeah, there's just no way this is going to work out. Just no way it's going to work out. There's no way. It's impossible. It's just impossible. All things are possible to those who believe. That's what it says. That's what it says. Yet in all of these things, we are more than conquerors. Yet in all of these things, we are more than conquerors. Hey man, I want to just tell you something. If God would have wrote this down and he would have just said, hey, you're a conqueror in all these things, that would have been enough. But he said, you are more than a conqueror, man. He has made our lives to be triumphant. He has made our lives to be victorious. He has made our lives so that we walk on the positive side of things. That no matter what comes our way, that we can say, man, I have Jesus and Jesus has me. And I'll tell you this, life is good. Life is good. But I got to tell you something, where negative words come from, they emanate from negative thoughts. And so I want to tell you something. I can tell a lot about anybody's life and what we think about by hearing what comes out of their mouths. Now you have to understand, sometimes I'm a little bit obsessive compulsive. I'm just going to admit that. I mean, a few years back, I decided I was tired of splitting wood by hand, and I was going to make myself a wood splitter. And so I did. And for the few months that I tortured my wife and saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Every day it was just planning and thinking about that stupid wood splitter. Got it built. Then I moved on to another project a few years later. I built me a big smoker. By the way, I smoked meat all day on Friday. Oh, the food of the gods. But until I got that thing done, I was just crazy about it. Now I'm working in another. I'm building me a cyclone dust separator from my shop. It's awesome, man. It's awesome. I was out there yesterday. It's just good. Until I get that thing done, you know how many times my wife has heard about it? And I want to tell you something. She plays like she knows, but she has no idea what I'm building out there. She says, oh, yeah, I know, because I'm telling her, yeah, you know, I routed a groove in here, and I cut that circle, and I made me a jig and all this stuff. And she's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. She doesn't have a clue. So pretty much any time that you're around me and you want to know what I'm thinking, it's going to come out of my mouth. It's going to come out of my mouth. After a while, you want to see my cyclone dust separator, I'll tell you all about it. How many people... Never mind. One, thank you. Thank you, Derek. You're awesome, man. Yes. But you see, what produces negative words coming out our mouths is the same thing that produces me telling you all about these projects that I'm going to build and I'm going to do. It's something that I've been thinking on. You see, negative thoughts produce negative words. And if there's any negative words that are coming from your mouth, it is generally an indication of worry. It's something you're worried about. Oh, we're just not going to make it. Most of the time, whenever you're saying that, you've been worrying about not making it. Come on. You see, that thought process that is going on inside of your life, it is manifesting with the words that you speak. It's coming out of your mouth. Whenever you say things like, you know, there's no way this is going to work out. This is impossible. I'm telling you, it's because something on the inside of you, it's thinking about it. You're thinking, you're contemplating. There's no way it's going to work out. It's impossible. And it manifests through your mouth. So now if negative thoughts manifest because of worry, I got to tell you something. I really believe that you can look at the word and understand that the opposite is true. You see, if positive words are coming from you, it generally indicates that you got some faith in you. Come on. Whenever you're in the midst of a real bad crisis, man, I tell you, I've been there before. Whenever I'm in the midst of a crisis with someone else, and I'm there to pray with them, I'm there to support them and encourage them. But it is so refreshing to hear from their mouth these words. Say, man, we're going to make it, Pastor. Let me tell you why we're going to make it. Jesus is God. He's God of my life. He's God of this situation. I'm telling you, we're going through. This is not going to destroy us. Man, I want to tell you, I like that. I go, yeah, I can get behind that plan. But there's so many times whenever I'm there in the midst of a crisis, and somebody says, man, this is going to ruin us. This is going to totally, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how we're going to go on from this. I have to tell you, that's a sign of worry. That's a sign of anxiety going inside of you. But whenever those positive words start coming forth, whenever you start quoting scriptures out of Romans chapter 8, are you there with me? Hey, Pastor, this is a bad thing, but I'm going to tell you something. I have a God that makes all things work together for my good because I love Him and I'm called according to His purpose. I don't know how this is going to end up good, but my God has already figured it out. Hallelujah. A couple years from now, you're going to be looking at me and this whole situation is going to be worked out for my good. I'm going, man, I like that. You see, you understand what that is? That's faith talking. I mean, Jesus Christ, understand this. He left, that says the darling of heaven crucified in one of the songs that we sing on a regular basis. The darling of heaven crucified. He was the Word of God. He came down. He took on the form of a human being and He allowed them to crucify Him. And He did it so as that you and I could say, listen, all things work together for good to those who are called according to His purpose. Those who love Him. Are you with me? He did it so that you and I could have a positive confession coming out of our mouths. Words that don't tear us down, but words that build us up. Words that give us hope. Words that build our faith. See, I got to be honest with you. I think that worry is thinking negatively. I've never worried and thought positive thoughts. Come on. I've never got up from a night of worrying and said, man, I tell you, I had so many positive things going over in my mind last night. Woo! I positive thought myself sick. See, that faith in this word, that faith that this word's going to be worked out in us because we are the children of God. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are sons and daughters of the Most High. You see, that faith helps us to think positive. I can do it in Him. I want to tell you, I have no chance on my own, but I've got Jesus Christ and I can do it in Him. I can do it in Him. I'm going to make it through, and I'll tell you why I'm going to make it through. It's not because of anything that I'm going to do, but it's because of whose that I am. That's why I'm going to make it through. And I know you guys are going to be real judgmental about me, and you're probably going to go off and write the district superintendent, but there have been times where I've threatened to kill my kids to their face. I'll kill you. I will kill you. Dead. I think they knew that I was semi-joking. But I never ran into this with any of our first three, but this last one, he's different. I threatened him not too long back. I said, I'm going to kill you. He said, go ahead. I'm going to heaven anyway. I go, ugh. I'm going to heaven anyway, Dad. Come on. Ruined my whole discipline system. I'm going to make it through. I mean, for heaven's sake, folk, even if we die, are you with me? The Bible tells us, this is what it says. It says to die is gain. I'm not going to lose anything whenever I die. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I mean, I'm going to step over and I am going to inherit what has been promised to me from the foundations of this earth being laid. God has said, this is yours. This is your reward. This is eternal life. Man, I'm telling you, it's good. Life is good. We got to quit talking like it's so bad. And I know sometimes there's this urge to talk bad. Because I got to be honest with you. Whenever you talk bad about a certain situation, sometimes it musters up more sympathy for you. Well, I got it bad, I'm telling you. I really got it bad. Doctor told me I was the worst case he'd ever seen. Worst one. I'm telling you. He took a few pictures of it because he said he wanted to frame me because this is the worst he had ever seen in his life.
I had 16 of my kin die from this very thing. Come on. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, oh, you poor thing. Come over here. Just love me. It's the worst. I mean, sometimes we want to, and please don't misunderstand me. I think that there's a time where we share with our brothers and sisters the trials that we're going through. But after we share those trials with them, this is what we got to begin to do. We got to say, but I'm going to tell you something. We're going through this in Jesus' name. I don't know how I'm going to get through it. I don't know where I'm going to find the strength. I have no idea. But I'll tell you this, the Word of God is true. And the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ watches over His Word to perform it. And I'm asking Him to perform some Word in my life. Because I want to tell you something. The things the doctor had to say were really negative. But I'll tell you, I'm believing the report of the Lord, not His report. See, I think you can share the situation. You can't just go and say, you know, everything's cool, everything's all right. That's not what I'm saying. But man, whenever you talk about things that are going on negative in your life, follow them up with the idea that Jesus Christ is going to take me through this. That His Word is going to be performed in my life. In Matthew chapter 12, a few verses here, verse 33 or 32, 33, it says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and the fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can you bring evil? How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and the evil man out of the treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by the words thou shalt be justified, the words thou shalt be condemned. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And see, what we got to begin to do is pile up an abundance inside of our heart that causes our mouth to speak the positive things that God has done for us, the positive thing that He is going to do for us, the power of His Word that works mightily on the inside of us. Amen? We've got to learn how to do that. We've got to learn to discern what others have in their heart. We've got to learn to discern what is in our own heart. I encourage you sometimes just to allow the Holy Spirit to monitor your speech by saying, Lord, I really want to be aware today of the things I say. I really do. Because a lot of times I think we go through the day and we don't even remember what we've said. Sometimes because of the way we were raised, because of the way we are now, I'm not going to give excuses for it, but we go through our day and we don't even realize how negative we are. We got to discern what's in our own heart. Because I believe there's room in the kingdom. I don't believe there's room in the kingdom for negative thoughts. Jesus Christ gave His life so that you and I could be positive thinkers. Have you ever thought about that? Come on now, He went to the cross. He gave His life so that you and I could be positive thinkers. He gave it all so that you and I could have it all. I love to get around people that are positive thinkers. I love to get around people who have this Word so deep in them that it absolutely directs everything that they say and do. Early on, whenever I was a Christian, I had the privilege of taking an evangelist that had visited our church to get new tires on his automobile. And so we knew a local tire dealer, and we took him down there, and they put new tires on his vehicle. And this is in the day and time, you know, where the receipts are all written out. You know, they had one of them little machines that, you know, is a little box, and you have to push a button, and the thing pops out, and you pull it out and tear it off. It's like three copies. And so this tire guy, he got it all done, and he slid that receipt over there to the guy who was paying for the tires, this evangelist. I got to tell you, this evangelist is a man of God, and he grabs this receipt, and he looks it over, man. I mean, he studies it. Studies it to the point where it's almost making me uncomfortable. I'm saying, man, these guys are okay. You know, they're not going to rip you out. And he put it back down on the shelf, and he slides it back over, and he says, are you sure everything's right on that receipt? Boy, the guy picked it up. Ooh, yes, sir, it's right. And he says, well, I was just wondering. He said, because I'm going to tell you something. He says, I have a rich father, and anything you ask me to pay, I can afford it. Come on now. And I mean, I'm just standing there going, It took me a while to get it. You know? I'm standing there going, my dad ain't got nothing, man. I need a discount. And then all of a sudden I realized he wasn't talking about his earthly father. He was talking about this Jesus that he'd been lifting up and preaching about for so many years. He says, listen, you whatever you want to charge me, I can afford it. He went on to tell him, man, he said, my dad owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns it all. Are y'all following what I'm saying? It's so neat to be around people who think like that. Let's listen to a cassette tape. Some of y'all don't know what that is, but anyway. Listen to a cassette tape one time of a preacher that I really thought a lot of. And this was whenever we were approaching Y2K. And people were going nuts, man. They were going nuts. There were churches that were storing up hundreds of thousands of dollars of food because the world was going to collapse. And if you didn't store up, you were going to go hungry, which is absolutely contrary to the scripture. Come on. And man, I was getting a lot of pressure as a senior pastor. I said, Pastor, you need to preach on Y2K. You need to warn your people. I had people quit in our church because I wouldn't preach on it. Seriously. Serious. I'm listening to this CD, a cassette, and I was just having a good time. And this guy starts talking about Y2K. And he said, listen, he said, if Y2K happens and the whole world shuts down, he said, I'm going to say something. He said, I have a Heavenly Father going to take care of me no matter how much I've stored up or not stored up. He's going to take care of me because that's His promise. His promises don't ring true whenever you fill your basement up with ready-to-eat meals. Come on. And then he went on. He said, listen. He said, if all the gas stations in the world shut down and I need to travel in my car, he said, I'm going to tell you something. My God can make my car run on Kool-Aid if He needs to. And I go, yeah, that's it. See, all of a sudden, I got this person that believes in the Word of God. Come on. He wasn't saying, oh man, what if I don't have gas to get home? Can I just tell y'all something? Don't put Kool-Aid in your car. Okay, that sugar really will mess it up. But I'll tell you something. If God wanted my car to run on Kool-Aid, my car would run on Kool-Aid. Are y'all following what I'm saying? Yo, Pastor, you're just crazy. Now, I tell you what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get control of my mouth. Because the Bible tells us in James, this thing's going to cause us some problems. Come on. And I'll be honest with you. Most of the things I ever got in trouble for, they were my mouth. One of the hardest whippings I ever got in my whole life was my mouth and then my foot. I tried to beat my mom up one time whenever I was about 6. It didn't work real good. She told me I was going to get to go to the dump, and I wanted to go to the dump. I want to tell you something. The dump was the best place in the whole world to go. And she said, I had to stay home with my brother. And I said, well, if I stay home with him, I'm going to be mean to him. You know, like, that's a big deal. Finally, I just said, Mom, I'm going to kick your rear end. And I just doubled my fists up and went into her. And, you know, you should never tell your mom that, just to tell you something. Especially when your mom's 6'3" and got arms like Arnold Schwarzenegger. She grabbed a hold of that paddle, and she liked to beat me to death. I'm not kidding you. She said, man, whenever I got through whipping you that day, she said, your brothers were both crying. I was crying, but you were really crying. And I tell you, I was really crying. My mouth has gotten me in so much trouble. And I'll be honest with you. Some of the times when I'm walking around, you know, because the enemy has been at this for a long time, and you realize that talking negatively is all about him. Because remember, I told you that this negative talk, it all starts out in our hearts. You see, the scripture that I read just a little bit ago, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But understand this, that's the fruit of who we are on the inside of us. And the negativity that the enemy wants to come out of our mouth, he's constantly bombarding us with that. I got to be honest with you. You know, young people, listen to this, man. And I understand that, man, everything is working against you. Everything is trying to make your self-esteem nothing. But understand this, you don't need to have self-esteem. You need to have esteem in Jesus Christ. That you have been created and you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and He has a plan for your life, and that you are everything in Christ Jesus. But so often what we hear coming out of our mouths is, I'm just no good. I'm stupid. I can't tell you how many kids I have heard confess that about themselves. I'm just stupid. Now, where does that come from? I'm a loser. Where does that come from? It comes from the enemy. But understand this, that Jesus went to the cross and he gave it all so that we could have it all. And we've got to learn to think positively. Hey, I'm nothing. I'll be honest with you. If you want to know what I am, all you got to understand is after I pass away, if you take my body and burn it, I come out to be a little box of ashes. That's it. But in Christ Jesus, now in Christ Jesus, I'm something. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Y'all realize what that means? That I'm a child of the Most High God. That I can walk into the King's kitchen, I can open up the refrigerator, and I can make myself at home. Come on. I'm talking about the King's kitchen. You understand the White House is a wonderful place, and man, it'd be awesome to be able to raid the White House's refrigerator, but that ain't nothing compared to the King's refrigerator. Come on. You know, whenever the king calls all of his kids together and he sits us around a table, do you realize that I'm going to be at that table? Come on. All the king's kids, his whole family, I'm going to be at that table. A couple of weeks ago, I preached about God having the last word, and this is a time whenever we need to have him, let him have the last word. He says we are his kids. And I want to tell you something. I don't think he appreciates anybody calling his kids stupid. Come on. I don't imagine. You know, I'm going to tell you something. My wife is little, but if you'd ever call one of her kids stupid, or in fact, I'll just tell you, if you ever do it now, I'll take up for her. But she'd have jumped on you. I mean, you'd have been like a little June bug with a chicken getting you. There was times whenever things happened that, you know, somebody would say something negative about our kids, and man, my wife would, woo. I had to duct tape her one time to the chair to keep her from getting revenge. You go, what could she do? Let me just tell you, I went over to her house one time while I was dating, and whenever I got there, she had a loaded 243 sitting at the door, and I said, what is this all about? She said, I almost shot somebody a while ago, and she was serious. It was a guy out patrolling around her house and messing around. Come to find out, it was her cousin that had given her dad a dog, and he was just coming back to look at the dog, but he almost got shot looking at the dog. After that, I never fooled around at her house. I'm telling you, just wouldn't go over there. Said she got a gun. God wouldn't like it if somebody calls their kid a loser. Are you there with me? God wouldn't like it if he calls a failure in any sort, because are you understanding this? He said, I've gone to great extremes to make my kids winners more than conquerors. And so this is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking if he wouldn't like anybody calling us losers, he probably doesn't like us calling ourselves losers. We've got to learn to think positive. We've got to learn to think with faith. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. We got to go around and we're going to begin to talk to ourselves. Man, I am a choice servant of the Most High God. Ha ha! He has chosen me. I am a chosen generation. We've got to make the choice of what kind of person that we're going to be. Are we going to be somebody who worries and always has negative thoughts coming out, negative words coming out? Or are we going to be people with faith, people that have positive thoughts, people who have positive words, people that say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things through Christ who strengthens me. We have a choice. We have a choice of what kind of person that we're going to be. And I got to tell you something. Myself, along with a whole lot of other Christians, have got to begin to think positively. And you go, well, this is one of those New Age messages. No, folks, I'm going to tell you something. This is not a New Age message. This has been around since the very beginning of time. You want to know somebody who thought positive while they were here on this earth? It was Jesus Christ. He wasn't a negative thinker. He wasn't a negative sayer. He was positive. God is positive. Read His Word. It's positive. He's for us. He is not against us. In Matthew chapter 6, there is a little conversation between Jesus and His disciples. And one of the things that He begins to say, He says, "Therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, nor for your body, what you're going to put on. For life is not meat, the body is not raiment." And throughout this whole passage here in Matthew 6, he talks about taking no thought. And I told you a minute ago that, you know, our thoughts, I really believe this. If you want to understand where negative thoughts come from, I believe it's Satan. I believe that when he's the one that comes knocking on your heart's door and starts talking to you in the negative, so as that thought will begin to manifest inside of you. And ultimately, that thought will come out in the form of speech. But right here, Jesus is saying to His disciples, He's saying, "Hey guys, take no thought for your life." And so now if Jesus is teaching this and He's saying take no thought, that means that there's got to be a possibility of leaving that thought on the table. Are you with me? Take no thought. Take no thought. Again, in Matthew chapter 10, He says take no thought. I got to tell you what we got to do. We've got to learn how to take it or leave it. Got to learn how to take it or leave it. And this is kind of the best way I can describe it. It's kind of like caller ID. You know, caller ID, it's on our cell phone. It pops up and it shows us who it is that's calling. And so whenever you see who it is that's calling, you have a decision to make, yes? You can either take that phone call or not. It's so nice, isn't it? Because if it's somebody you don't want to talk to, like Pastor, you go, "I am not talking to this cornhead. We'll just let him leave a message." Now, I answer all of my calls, I want you to know. I remember when the caller ID first came out. Man, sometimes there's calls that you should not take. Come on, are you all with me? They're just, you shouldn't take them. And it was so nice whenever I picked that phone. Oh, I'm not answering that one. This was at another church. It was not here. None of y'all judge me because you've done it yourself. Some of you young people have actually got a call from your mother and you didn't answer it. And I'm going to say some shame on you. Should always take phone calls from your mother. See, caller ID, whenever it comes to negative thoughts, is this: you got to leave, or you've got to ignore that negative thought. You got to leave them alone, not pick it up. You follow me? Whenever Satan, he's knocking on the door and he's going, "Man, you are a big loser." You've got to decide whether or not you're going to answer that phone call. You see, a lot of times what happens is, I'm a loser, yeah, because, you know, my dad called me a loser. I've been a loser. I don't have no education. I've just been from one job to the next. I'm a loser. I've made so many stupid mistakes. I'm a loser. See, you gotta screen those thoughts. Whatever comes into your mind, you're a loser. You gotta say, man, that ain't the way it is gonna be. We've gotta learn to answer the phone whenever it's a positive thought coming into our mind. We gotta learn to ignore it whenever it's a negative thought. And you go, "Well, how do you ignore it?" Let me tell you the best way that I know. You got to have replacement thoughts. You got to have replacement thoughts. It's kind of like football. Kind of like the Denver Broncos. Go Denver. Okay. What you got to have is you got to have some players that sit on the bench. And whenever that negative thought comes, you got to call those players off the bench into the game. Are y'all with me? The thought comes, "You're not going to make it. You're going under." Y'all there? And you're out playing hard on the field. Your whole team's in there, and all of a sudden you go,
Man, I've been playing hard and they're all in the game. Oh, wait a minute. I've got a bench over here. Praise God. Come on in. And so the first guy runs in off the bench, man, and he says, this is what the coach says. He says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Woo, baby. I like that one. That's a good one. That's a replacement thought. Are you there with me? I'm not taking this thought that I'm going under. For heaven's sake, Jesus died on the cross so that I could go through, so that I could... Oh, the next guy runs in off the bench and he says, that's what the coach says. He says, you're more than conquerors. Ha, 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 ha. Come on. So man, if that thought just keeps persisting, are y'all there? Because Satan, I want to tell you something, he doesn't give up easy. I mean, man, you can, and let me just say something. You need to speak this because he needs to hear you. Yeah, I'm not going under in Jesus' name. Next guy comes off the bench and says, man, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. Hallelujah. Woo! But man, I'm telling you, man, you can get excited about the Spirit of the living God dwelling on the inside of you. The same Spirit that resurrected that dead body to life. Man, I'm telling you something. You just tell me, what can be against me if the Spirit of God is living in me that would be able to defeat me? It didn't defeat death. I mean, death didn't defeat it. There you go. I'll have it right in just a minute. Come on. I got to tell you, though, y'all need a deep bench sometimes. Because a lot of times he just keeps on coming and just keeps on coming and just keeps on coming with those negative thoughts. And you got to learn which ones that you're going to leave behind, which ones you're not going to pick up that phone and answer. You got to learn to answer the positive thoughts. You got to learn to leave the negative thoughts alone. And you got to say, man, Lord, I'm creating a deep bench for heaven's sake. Let me tell you something. If you're struggling against something physically, you got to get all the scriptures in line that talk to you about healing. And whenever the doctor, you go to the doctor, you want to tell you something, the doctor, they're just not good at giving good news. They're not. And the thing is, they give bad news in 8.3 seconds. And then they're to their next appointment. I love doctors, but I just don't like to go to them. I gotta tell you something, man. Do you realize all the stuff in here is about, it's all good whenever it comes to him and our health? I mean, man, there's stuff in there that he wants us to prosper. He wants us to prosper in mind, our bodies, our spirits. He wants us to prosper all the way around. And we've got to understand, we've got to have these replacement thoughts. As I said, Satan's been around for a long time, and he's been at this for a very long time. And his job is to bring out negative thoughts and negative words out of the people of God. The Bible tells us in James chapter 4, it says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. You see, we got to resist the enemy. We just can't let him run amok in our lives. See, can I tell you this? I think one of the biggest jobs that we have in the family of God is to be an encourager to other people. I really mean that. I mean to be an encourager. Because there's times when you run into somebody and you know they're down, speak encouragement to their lives. You know that what they're going through is not a good thing, and what you got to do is just get a hold of them and say, listen to me. Listen to me. Come on, off the bench. Yeah, I know it's not your game, but you come here. Tell them what the coach says. Are y'all with me? You got to have a deep bench for other people. Because you got to resist the enemy with all that is in you. And the way to resist him is to keep speaking the Word of God. Jesus gave us that demonstration whenever he had in the wilderness fasting and he had come out and there the enemy was to tempt him, and he tempted him, and Jesus, he quoted the Word of God. That's all he did. And the enemy finally got his briefcase, zipped it up and said, no luck here. And he took off and went his way. We got to resist the enemy. We got to have a deep bench. Because I don't think God likes people talking negative about his kids.
I don't even think he likes his kids talking negative about their situations. I want to go back, if I could, just for a few minutes and read you something. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose." Jared, if you'll come and help me close this morning. I got to read that again because, folks, I tell you, there's some scripture right here that just, it's a great way to replace those negative thoughts with positive ones. To replace that fear with faith. And we know that all things work together good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? Woo-hoo. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or nakedness, distress, famine, the peril, the sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter, yet all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded, man, folks, this is one we got to get a hold of right here. The writer of this amazing book says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I just got to go back and I got to begin to say life is good, man. Life is good. And I know that the faces that are represented in this congregation, every one of us in this room, there are things we are struggling against, things we're struggling with. It might be a financial situation that you're going through. You might be going through some kind of health issue and your physical body is just not what it needs to be. Man, relationship can be so difficult, can't it? Man, there's nothing that'll kill your heart any quicker than going through problems with your family. Amen? But I'll tell you something. Life is good. In just a little over a month, it'll be 20 years since my wife was diagnosed with MS. And I have seen that stupid disease slowly but surely, incrementally, take so many things. She's at home today. She feels horrible today. She was here last week, but most of y'all didn't even know it. Because if she comes to church, she has to stay in my office and just listen to the sermon piped in. It's affected my ministry. It's affected everything that I do. I understand what I'm saying? But I'm going to tell you something this morning. Life is good. It's good. And I'll tell you why. Because I have a Savior that loves me. I have a Savior that loves my wife. And I want to tell you something. He's bigger than any kind of disease that can come against you.
He's bigger than anything that you might encounter through your life's journey. He is a big God, and He loves every bit of who you are. He loves you. He loves you with a love that doesn't just go away whenever you get up grumpy. And He has got this book. I'm telling you, if you'll take the opportunity to study it, this book is chocked full of His promises to you and I. He said, I promise. I'm a God that promises all kinds of things, but I'm also a God that will deliver on those things. And as long as our mouth is out there flapping, come on, all the negative junk, it's really, really hard to be recipients of the goodness that He has planned for our lives. Whenever we're out there saying, I'm going down, I'm going under, there's no way this is going to happen, this is impossible, it is so hard for God to break through. But we got to be people that see those negative thoughts and we go, no, 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 I am not taking that one. I'm going to fill my life with His Word. I'm going to raise myself up with His faith, and I'm going to believe Him to minister mightily in my situation. So I'm telling you, this morning it doesn't make any difference what you're going through. You have a God. But man, He cares about you. If we could just understand 1/10 of how much God loves us, I want to tell you, we'd all be riding high. So this morning, I just am preaching this message as a challenge to all of us, including myself. And I'm telling you, I'm right there with us. I'm there. Sometimes my mouth just runneth over with stupidity. Come on. Just stupid stuff comes out of my mouth. And you know the amazing thing about it is just about the instant I say it, I've got enough word in me that there is something that just goes, I go, I should not have said that. That is absolutely contrary to the Word of God. But you know what I do a lot of times? I give myself a pass. I go, it's not that big a thing. But it really is. The Bible says our words are powerful. It says, blessing and cursing is in the power of our speech. Life and death is in the power of our words. Now think about that for a moment. Our words are powerful. So this morning, if you're anything like me, there are times that you know that you know that you know could have said it better. Amen. Is that politically correct enough? You could have said it better. If you've got a business, speak life into that business. I mean it. Speak life into it. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak life into this business. I speak that there's going to be people crawling all over these hills in the next few weeks that's going to need my assistance. They're going to need what I'm selling. Lord, I just, in Jesus' name, I confess that. And I'll tell you why I say it. Because I'm the head, I'm not the tail. He has created me for success. He has created me for victory. He has not created me so that I will fail. He has not created me so that I will be discouraged and downtrodden and run over. But He has created me to be lifted up. Come on. I specifically remember a young lady who was having some severe marital problems, and they'd been in counseling for a long time and nothing seemed to work, and their marriage was just getting a little bit further apart all the time. And she one day was praying, and the Lord just revealed to her that there was a spirit of death in her house for her marriage, that the enemy had just literally come in there and literally just brought death to their marriage. And so the Holy Spirit just instructed her to begin to pray life into that marriage. Because, I mean, they had already filed for the, you know, the 12-month separation thing, kind of. And it was just a mess. It looked like there was absolutely no hope for any kind of reconciliation.
And so she just began to go around her house, and she said everything in her house got oily because she just carried a bottle of oil around and just started anointing the chairs, the beds, the windows, the doors, and everything. And every time she would anoint something, she would just basically say, "Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray life into this house. I pray life into this marriage." And let me tell you what happened. About 3 months later, they went to the courthouse and they said, "We want to stop this proceeding because God has put our marriage back together." And he did it in a marvelous way, because somebody just decided, "I'm going to speak life into this situation." So this morning, this is what I'm going to do. This altar call is not to point fingers. It's not to make you feel bad because you're going to get out of your seat here in a moment and walk forward. But what this altar call is for is so that you can come up to the front. And you can call your team off the bench for maybe something that you've been going through that you've just been speaking negatively about. I don't know the words that have been coming out of your mouth. Well, actually, I do know a few of the words because you've spoken them to me. And you probably know some words that are coming out of my mouth. Sometimes it's just not too positive either. But I want to call some members off the bench, and I want to say Jesus Christ is Lord over everything. He's Lord over this situation in my finance. He's Lord over this situation in my health. He's Lord over this situation in my relationships. I've been struggling spiritually against this one thing, and I just can't get any victory over it. But in Jesus' name, I'm telling you, He has made me for success. And so we're just going to... Wait a minute, I'm getting ahead of myself. It wasn't very long ago that the Holy Spirit got a hold of me and he said, "You need to repent." And I go, "Okay, what have I been doing?" My mind is just kind of running rapidly about anything that I've done or said that's been stupid, because I do that quite often. And he says, "No, you need to repent." And I said, "Okay, you lay it out there and I'll repent." He said, "You need to repent because you don't believe my word." I kind of took offense to that. I really did. I said, "What do you mean I don't believe your word? I believe your word." I kind of challenged God because I was kind of taken aback by it. I told him, I said, "I am a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have a card in my wallet." How many of y'all know that that really doesn't impress him one bit? I actually didn't say that to him. He said, "You don't believe my word." And he said, "Let me tell you why I know you don't believe my word, because of the way you've been talking." How many of y'all know that the Holy Spirit has got an amazing memory? And he began to recall things that I had said just over the last 3 or 4 days. And I'm thankful he didn't go back a few weeks. Come on. And he said, you just need to repent. You've got to believe my word. And one of the ways that I know you believe my word is what comes out of your mouth. And I had to repent that day. And so I really believe that that's probably the first thing we've got to do. Before we call any people off the bench, we just got to say, "Lord, I am sorry for the way I've been talking. I'm sorry. Because there's a lot of negative things that have come out of my mouth. But I'm here today to tell you, I'm going to guard my thoughts. I'm not going to pick them up if they're negative. And man, I tell you, I'm going to be the first. I'm going to be answering them on the first ring if it's a positive thought. I'm not going to give the enemy any room. I'm going to, in Jesus' name, walk in the victory that you have called me to walk in. Because you, Christ Jesus, have created me to be more than a conqueror. You have created me to be more than a conqueror. You have loved me with a love that there is nothing can separate us from it. And Lord, life is good.